February was a huge month for conventions here in the region, so we have back Brian Grabinski to talk about the post-con sadness, but also plans for spring summer cons and unique conventions we'd love to attend, as well as talking about the swag and our favorite cosplays from the conventions. So come nerd out with us on the next Region Nerd Alert, every Saturday at 7 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio. And welcome, everyone.
Hi.
Hey.
How's it going? So, listeners, you are listening to Region Nerd Alert right now. I'm your host, Jose, on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, streaming worldwide, lakeshorepublicradio.org. And if you missed this episode, or if you're not listening on the radio live, you can probably hear us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR app. NPR One app. And the NPR website as well. Yeah, I don't know if I told you guys, but I typed myself in and, well, not myself, because my name is super common, Jose. I won't. Well, my last name's already on all the stuff.
Yeah.
That's not a big mystery for me. But, yeah, I typed Region Nerd Alert and NPR site. It's on everywhere.
I did the same thing. It feels real good.
Feels real nice. Feels like a... I'm doing something.
Hey, look, I made it.
Oh, sorry.
I'm on Google. But without further ado, let's start to introduce some people here. If you haven't already heard from the intro, to my left in the Goose Squadron seat.
It is Thick Boy, 3 C's, 3 I's, Facebook, Instagram, and follow my photography at Singularity Photography.
I was going to say, at the past conventions, you took some pretty great pictures.
Thank you. Yeah, I really love my Polaroid work.
We'll talk about it a little more into the show, but Pinkie Pie, it's one of my favorites.
The Pinkie Pie.
But also, I was thinking we should have like a sound bite of some sort of goose thing. Like, and in the goose chair, quonk, 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 quonk. Oh, I was thinking more.
Oh, I was thinking like the
No, you were,
the top
you, were,
gun.
You were right. You were right.
How about we just combine both of them and have the flying honk. Wah,
wah, wah, wah. If we can have like a goose honk, but the Top Gun anthem, like...
There you go.
We'll have to talk to Otho about that one.
Oh, yeah, who is not here with us, so we get to rag on him. No, I'm just kidding.
But, like we do every day.
But anyway, to Mike's left, we have special guest...
Brian Grabinski, showrunner of the NWI Comic-Con.
There we go. And thank you for joining us once again here.
Yeah,
on
man.
Region
thanks
Nerd
for having me.
I'm glad you came back after last time. I hope we didn't scare you off or anything.
It was tons of fun, man.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to discussing more about our time and how it was a great success.
It was.
And to your left, to round out the introductions, who's it going to be? Is it Heather? Is it Skylar?
No, it's your boy Paul.
Paul Gerzelski in the flesh. How you doing, Paul? You have anything to stream or promote?
No, I'm not really active on social media. But if you want to find me on League of Legends, my name is Serpollinating.
Oh, there it is. Man, we need to find out like everything about Paul Gerzelski.
Yeah, some say he's a god in League of Legends. I heard that.
Oh, he is definitely that god level.
Just nothing but bronze.
What are you, Challenger 4 now?
Oh, man.
Literal pro.
But anyways, we're here. We are Region Nerd Alert, and you are listening right now. And I got to say, I can't speak for everyone, but I got a little bit of the post-con blues. Like, I know it's still February. There's still some conventions coming up.
Yeah.
But personally, like, I think my next con is Gen Con. Like, there may be ASEN in there, but if I'm even going to that. But.
Yeah, I don't know if I am, just because anime is not really my thing.
But, yeah.
I may go one day.
Yeah, maybe. I always forget that you don't have to go every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, gotta get a hotel, gotta get the passes, gotta spend more money.
Wait, we're adults with licenses and cars. We can just go one day.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But I was actually talking to one of my producers here, and she's like, oh, how much money did you spend? And I told her, oh, yeah, just this and this, so it's not too bad. Oh, did you factor in the hotel, too? Well, no, I guess not. I paid for that a while ago, but...
Hotel doesn't count.
With the hotel, like, is... It was nasty amount of money.
Oh, I know. I never include the hotel, man.
Yeah,
ever.
It makes me sad when I include that. But
yeah, that's what's so cool about local shows, you know, or you know, C2E2, 45 minutes away, NWI Comic Con, like right here in the region, right
48
in
seconds down the road.
Yeah, right. You know,
literally down close. My house. Yeah.
You know, that's what's so cool about having cons so close to the region.
And the thing too about Northwest Indiana Comic Con is it's like. Well, not only is it like I feel more family oriented, but also I feel like you can have more personal connections with everyone there. Like all the vendors, like I don't feel as like I'm taking up their time at Northwest Indiana Comic Con. Like yeah. I can go up to them, I can ask them about their craft and like be really in detail yeah. with it.
Yeah, I concur. You know, I feel the same way. You know, you don't feel like you said, like, you know, you're on a time limit because the person behind you is like, you know, pushing you to, mm-hmm. you know, get an autograph or to take up your talking time. You know, it's
right.
everyone's there at their own pace and doing their own thing and having a good time.
Right. And even the cosplayers, too. Like, I talked to so many cosplayers at your con, like, yeah. one-on-one instead of, like, at C2E2. Like, I walked past them. Can I get a quick pic? All right, see ya.
Sure.
But at your con, like, I talked to so – like, there was a JoJo's Bizarre Circus cosplay,
uh-huh.
Which was one of my favorites. There was – I think there was another group anime one. I forgot what anime it was. But there's also tons of Star Wars cosplay at your convention.
Yeah, there was a lot.
And then,
man,
let's
talk about that for a minute. How yeah. about that freaking Mando, man?
Oh, the
that Mando was boss.
Oh my gosh,
that Mando was real boss.
I didn't get to feel the armor, but man, from afar, it looked legitimate. Like that was
so
amazing.
It was 3D printed. I follow him on Facebook. You know, HDC Fabrications. He was one of our cosplay judges. He 3D printed it. He epoxied it. He prepped it. He painted it. Oh, my gosh, man. It was, like, screen ready. It was so freaking cool.
Holy, screen ready is a great way to...
Oh, man. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. That was amazing. And then I can't believe you can do that, like, 3D printing. Like,
I know.
It looks so shiny.
Like, I know. And when I held the helmet, it actually had some weight to it, man. Like,
dang, I should have talked to him because I wanted to... I know...
I wonder what kind of 3D printer he has, because there's different kinds. Like, you have the plastic strand one, like the one that everybody thinks about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's one, I don't exactly know what it's called, but it's basically a 3D prints out of a liquid and pulls it up out of the liquid. Yeah.
Is it still plastic, or is it
it's like a resin or
yeah,
something.
I think it is a resin.
Yeah, that one's cool to watch, because it's literally just like, you just see like the liquid like vibrating really fast, and then the platform just raises up, and then there's the thing.
when I think of 3D printing, that's what I think of.
Like, it's pretty cool.
Just out of the liquid forms the whatever it is. But yeah, you had two cosplay contests at your convention, correct?
Yeah, adults and teens, and don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure Heather took home.
Heather took home.
Heather
she
took
was
home
second
place.
Place. And I seen the certificate, and I seen her little trophy there,
uh-huh.
and it was super. Like her name is
yeah,
everything was
legit,
on
man.
Yeah,
right,
repping region nerd alert.
Yeah.
Like
repping.
That was actually her first convention cosplay or her cosplay contest too.
Oh really?
Yep.
Yeah. So she was super excited.
Man,
that
I wish she was here so I could talk about her experience. Now I have to come back, man. See, now we gotta.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
I
yeah.
gotta come back so we can chat about it.
There
oh,
we
yeah.
go. Yeah. Heather would be here, but she is kind of under the weather after C2E2
because
she wore
the con crud.
The con crud.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. She actually wore the same cosplay. The Jester from Critical Role,
mm-hmm.
and she wore it for I think 8 hours on C2E2, or no, 12, more than 8 hours.
Yeah, it was all day,
all
some commitment,
day.
Yeah,
super commitment. And she was like in character the whole time, giving out her stickers mm-hmm. and like talking to people. She's probably on countless people's Instagrams now.
At C2E2 last year, I got my face painted by the people who do the Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell,
mm-hmm.
and I wore that for.
Oh, yeah.
I wore that for like an hour, and I was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
I remember you telling me how bad it was.
It was so bad. My face was so dry. My lips were so chapped. I'm like, I need this off me right now. It's so cool, but I hate every second of this.
Just want to scratch your face
I do.
Off.
I couldn't imagine. Like, Heather was like a full face blue. If you guys don't know at home, the Jester cosplay, but it's like a full, like, it almost looks medieval garb
mm-hmm.
with a big lollipop, which had some weight to it,
yeah.
like the size of like a big I don't always say galactic hammer. Is that a thing?
It looks like.
Is it like 7 feet tall almost?
No, it wasn't 7 feet. It was probably 6.5 feet tall. The lollipop head on it was the size of a standard beach ball. So, yeah. I mean, it was a pretty sizable prop.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I saw her and I didn't realize it was her. Like, she completely became the character. Mm-hmm. Like, I had no idea.
She goes hard with her cosplay.
Yeah, man, that was awesome.
Super commander. Wish she was here.
Yeah. One thing I want to say before we get anywhere, I want to say thank you to what's the name of the company? Ladies Gourmet Popcorn.
The popcorn
company that was next to us. I want to thank you guys for being patient with us, especially when we popped up Smash Bros. On the TV.
Mm-hmm.
I was not expecting the crowd that was going to draw. So you guys are the real MVPs.
I was going to say, speaking of, we had our vendor at your convention as well. That was my first time being a vendor, and I had to say I had a fantastic time.
That's awesome. I'm happy to hear that.
I remember me and Carl went in, and we set up everything, and I brought a super tiny TV. I'm not good with inches, but super tiny, like the size of like a –
probably like a
small boy's torso.
Probably like
I don't know how else to describe it, but
did you say a torso?
A torso of a small child. Like I said, I suck with numbers.
I imagine it's like a smartphone with like a small stand.
But yeah, I brought a small TV, and we were gonna do like Rule of Rose and Smash Bros on the TV. And I remember Brian came around. Carl was like, "Yeah, Brian said you can use the big screen," because we were in the corner near the big screen. And then like the food vendors, and you gave us permission, like,
yeah,
yep.
You know, I saw the potential of it, and I'm like, man, throw it up there, dude.
I asked Carl, I was like, are you sure you gave us permission?
Yeah, it was a great idea on your behalf, and kudos to you for thinking of it and bringing it to the show. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I appreciate you like setting us up there because as soon as the first game we put up was Stardew Valley, which is like it's a pixelated and it's like a farm simulator sort of. And as soon as we put that up, like everyone that was first walking in and sitting down and relaxing, their eyes went straight up. And so many people came and asked, like, what game is this? Like, oh, Stardew Valley. It looks really cool. I like
it. Now, see, you have to have someone make you like a region nerd alert 8-bit game, you know, like a side scroller. And then you get some advertisement, you get some players, you know, it's like a win-win.
Boom, there we go.
Future plan.
I was going to say, I'm actually in some talks with some artists for making some sort of character, but I won't say, I won't reveal any things, but that would be awesome to have an 8-bit version of, oh my gosh, can someone please make an 8-bit version of all of us? Now there's like pictures circulating of us and we're not just the radio. Or make a pixelated thing of what you think we look like. That would be cool.
I have a giant head. There you go. Just work off of that.
Mike has a giant head. I have a giant neck. Like, no shirts fit me.
Together we make a thumb.
I'm just giant. I'm big in Japan.
And then Paul's a...
I'm just a literal skeleton.
Paul's a literal...
He is a skinny dude.
I was like, listening to this, if you can make that just off those descriptions, that would be amazing.
That would be pretty great. We had Stardew Valley on the TV, though. We had Smash Bros. And Smash Bros. Was the one that just, like... I knew people, it was gonna be popular, but dude, we got slammed. Like
the biggest mistake.
The moment that
I was gonna
came
say,
up on screen.
Like I was like, let's hold off the Smash Bros. Until like 3 o'clock, and then we were like, no, let's put it on. I'm like, all right. Yeah. And then as soon as it goes on, are you having a tournament? Like, what's going on? Can I play? Blah blah. Blah.
Oh yeah, we weren't prepared for that.
No, yeah, but, so a lot of my helpers are teenagers, and when I would call them on the radio, you know, to find out where they were over there playing Smash Bros.
Oh really?
Where are you guys at? By the big TV. I don't know. Maybe next year, if you allow it, could do like a small little tournament.
Yeah, I was going to say I was not prepared for the volume.
Yeah, well, you know, considering the fan base that it brought, you know, and the attention that was behind it, you know, I think we could work something out.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds good. Because I was going to have like a little thing like, oh, if like a few people came to play, like, oh, okay, I'll put a little thing that says if you beat me, then you get like a shirt or something.
Yeah, we'll see.
But it was just so many people.
Yeah, you got to be like my marketing side kicks in. You know, you got to have like stickers and water bottles and t-shirts and swag to give away.
Oh, definitely. You know? Yeah.
The if that's the case for next year, then I'm definitely going to get prepared for that, because a lot of the time it was people making their own like profiles and setting up like controls, and I'm just going to be like, no, okay, we're going to standardize it. Like, just streamline it.
Yeah, that's the thing with the new Smash Bros. Too. Like, it's so customizable that kids,
it's kind of at the detriment.
Yeah, they're like, I only know how to play this way, like no other way, whatever.
Only but melee controls.
Only melee controls. But another, like we were saying, the popcorn place right next to us,
Ladies Gourmet Popcorn.
Yeah. They were super nice. Like, we talked the whole day, and
that's awesome.
They were awesome con partners.
That's fantastic.
Like, and man, they're popcorn was out of this world.
It really was.
It's so delicious.
I'm going to say this right now, they are the only caramel popcorn I like.
Really?
Yep, this is the only caramel popcorn I like.
I was going to say, that's their churro popcorn was amazing.
It's pretty fun.
And then they had, what was that super, the hot one?
Oh, it was just like a hot powdered one, like the one that, like, it's like, they said it was something like the same powder that they use on, like, the hot Jay's chips or something like that.
Mm.
But then they also said they make it with like ghost pepper.
We need to go back in and try. I believe they're out of
Griffith.
They're in Griffith, Indiana.
They didn't have
off of Main Street.
The ghost pepper one there, did they?
No, they didn't. They started listing off like all the different flavors they had, and they're like, yeah, anyway, we got ghost pepper, and we got, you know, this and that. We got movie butter. I went, stop. You had me a movie butter. You sold.
I was gonna say, I kept eating the hot, their hot blend.
Yeah,
and then I would talk, and then
immediately, yeah.
Like, there's something about that powder. Like, man, delicious.
Just
and what?
No, in the powder.
Oh yeah, once you start eating, you're dedicated to finishing that popcorn until you speak another word.
So during the convention, what were you doing? Can we ask what?
Yeah, sure. So as the showrunner, you know, it's one of my jobs is to make sure that everything's going smoothly. So throughout the day, I check on everyone. You know, we have 100 exhibitors, so I try to touch base with every single one of them, make sure the day's going okay, see if anyone needs a bathroom break, maybe some water. I like to see how their day's going, how sales are going, you know, if, you know, just shooting the stuff.
No, because there were tons of vendors there, and man, I gotta say, one of my favorites was they changed their name. Say, I'm terrible with names, and when I asked them their name, they said they're changing their name, and there's no way I can remember it.
But oh, you're talking about the
the Smell Good place. Yep. Yeah, they had candles. They had they had candles, they had body sprays, they had chapstick, and they were all different scents. And I remember because I have the Keanu Reeves body spray. I don't know. Do you remember what they were called?
I think it's Nerdtastic. I believe.
Nerdtastic? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm terrible with names, but it was some nice ladies there, and they had a bunch of different candles and...
It was Nerdtastic because I'm holding my Keanu Reeves cologne stick in my hand currently.
There we go.
Awesome.
Good. And is that their current name as well? Or
I believe so.
Okay.
I'm not 100%
I remember
sure.
They said they were changing too.
I'll look it up real quick.
Awesome. Yeah, Nerdtastic. Now I know because my candle's getting down to the nitty gritty.
Same. Like,
You don't understand.
So,
like,
I mean, I don't want to take your man cards, but you went to a Comic-Con, you bought candles.
Oh. You know what? We did.
I'm just picking.
To be fair, I did buy a pretty awesome mat, too. We both did.
Oh, the mat?
Yeah.
There was
from,
awesome.
Tom Bacon, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think I tagged you guys on Instagram, too.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get to meet him there because I think I went in the beginning, and it was his girlfriend running it, and then I didn't get a chance to go. But I did tag him, and I was like, hey, man, thanks. This is like one of the coolest mats I've ever seen.
That's awesome.
It looks like they changed their name to Serpent and Flame.
Serpent and Flame.
Yeah. I kind of like that name.
So Nerdtastic is now Serpent and Flame.
Yeah. But if you're interested in looking at their stuff, the website is 42nerdtasticplace.com.
Oh, I thought that was their street address.
No.
Nerdtastic Street.
I would be like, yeah, I'm moving.
But yeah, big shout out to them. Like, I believe we all I think when one of us like bought something cool there, mm-hmm. all the other people went. Because I remember Heather went there. She's like, look at this candle place. Smell these. I'm like, oh, man, that's a get. And then we all went to go buy candles and body spray. And then same with the mats. I bought the mat in the beginning. I'm like, dude, look at this cool mat. And you're like, oh, where is that? And then all my other friends went to go buy a mat.
Awesome. Yep.
I wish I would have gotten there earlier that day so I could have gotten one of those mats.
Me and Skylar bought the last two.
They sold out fat. And
they were pretty cool.
I think I was like one of the first people who bought them, and they looked like they had like six of each. Mm. So when you guys went, it couldn't be far behind, and they already sold out.
They're good mats too. Like they're thick, they're heavy duty. They got the stitch edging. They're really nice.
Really nice mats. But if you guys can remember back to Northwest Indiana Comic Con, what were your guys' favorite, basically favorite vendors? Paul, we'll start with you. What did you enjoy most about the Northwest Indiana Comic Con?
Honestly, I think my favorite thing about it is just like going and seeing all the different artists that are there. Mm. Sometimes there's like a couple of recurring artists, and then there's some new ones that have some really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I didn't have any really
money
to spend that day. But it was it's really cool just seeing all these other artists come out and then seeing everyone in the hall. Like I went out to my car for a bit and there was people playing D&D. So that's something you don't really see that often.
Yeah, right outside our vendor thing, there was just people playing D&D. And then
it's a region gaming. And they talked to us about, having games this year or not, and I was all about it, and it was super popular, like a lot of the tags that I was getting was in terms of the gaming, so it just shows that, gaming is still really strong here in Northwest in Indiana region,
Yeah, Heather was super excited about that, too. She's like, oh, there's a D&D thing outside. I'm like, oh, man, go play. I'm like, I can't. I'm in costume going around. But she definitely got a lot. Like in C2E2, she was like we were all night partying. She was also all night partying, but at the D&D stuff that went out all night. But
So it's Imagine Games is who hosted the
game. Is that who hosted
Imagine
those?
Games.
That's awesome.
They're right here in Northwest Indiana region. Feel free to check them out.
Go ahead and check them out. Awesome.
One thing I saw, speaking of C2E2, that was really cool was there was a small area set up that was dedicated to teaching people different games. Like there was a standing table set up to teach people how to play Magic, and I thought that was really cool.
Mm.
Like I hung out by that table for a minute, and they were, pardon me, they were running monocolored decks, like real basic stuff. And it was really cool because they were like showing, okay, this represents mana. Each symbol does this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's a really good idea. Because I was talking to, who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody and they said that they want to learn Magic. Oh, it's Pinkie Pie.
Oh.
The girl that cosplayed Pinkie Pie. She goes, I want to learn Magic, but it's really like intimidating looking. I said, it's as complicated as you make it.
Did you pull the Aladdin on her? Like, I can show you the world.
Let me show you with my own deck.
I'm not
going to
confirm nor deny that.
But, there was definitely at C2E2 this year a huge tabletop presence.
There was.
I think partly because of a Critical Role that was there. They're a YouTube D&D group.
Yeah.
But I was for it. There was plenty of super expensive dice, like super expensive ways to roll the dice even. Like, it was amazing.
I may have participated in purchasing the expensive dice.
Yep.
What do you mean super expensive ways to roll the dice?
like freaking dice shooters or something. No, but it was like dice towers. Like, they had some really good ones. I wish I would have got one. And which is, for you guys at home, you put the dice in the top and then it rolls it for you and then it comes out the bottom real nice. And they also had like leather bound portable ones. I think Heather got her hands on one of those, and you just whip it out and then fold it, and then boom, you can roll your dice on that if you don't want to roll on like a table or lose your dice off the table.
Keeps the die
right.
That's cool.
And then there's tons of there's tons of dice vendors to begin with at C2E2, but there's also like the thing with dice is like there's so many different materials you can use.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was like the metal dice with all different colors. I seen dice there with little seashells in them. and like little flowers in them. And I'm like,
there was dice made out of like crystal.
Oh,
there.
Nice. Oh,
legit crystal. That was cool. Those things weighed a ton though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like each die probably weighed half a pound.
Oh man.
It was ridiculous. For something that's the size of, you know, roughly a quarter, that's really dense.
Yeah, right.
So since we're talking about C2E2, Brian, you went to C2E2 as well.
I did.
Which days did you go?
I only went on Saturday. But man, it was a great time. You know, I've been going to C2E2 for about 15 years, you know. As I said before, I've been going to cons for about 30.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of my local favorites. You know, it's a good time. It is a good reminder why I have the Northwest Indiana Comic Con, though.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, $65 to get in, $25 to park, $12 for a hot dog. I mean, come on.
And then
you want to buy stuff.
Right.
Where, you know, it was just.
Yeah, thank God Lakeshore provided the old the press pass.
Yep.
But we still, that's awesome.
We still spent a lot of money there. But they did have some expensive dogs and some. I think even lemonade was super expensive there.
Yeah. It's
Chicago, yeah.
It's Chicago. I mean, you're paying the Chicago tax.
Right. And it's McCormick Place.
Yeah.
And McCormick Place on
but,
top
But, you know,
of
it is a three-day show. They have tons of celebrities. It's worth the money.
Yeah.
You know,
if
you're a fan and you're into different fandoms, whether it be gaming or comics or cosplay, you know, it's definitely worth it.
We are no way deterring you from going to the big comic book convention of Chicago. Like, it
no,
is
not at all.
Extremely worth it.
Yes.
There's tons of guests, tons of vendors, and it's 3 days, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't have to go, like, all 3 days. Yeah.
There was somebody who at my work who always wanted to go to a Comic-Con, and I told him C2E2 is the next one that's coming up. If you want to get like your feet, if you want to get your feet wet for the first time, go Friday. You want to see cosplays, Saturday, Sunday, take your kids.
Yeah,
that's Sunday, that's the kids' day. Kids,
yeah,
I think one of my favorite things that was at C2E2 this year was the gaming area, because I don't think I've seen that there the last time I went. It wasn't there last year, was it?
You're talking about the board game area?
No, the video game one.
Where
they had the arcade
Smash
games.
They had the cabinets set up.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't
TVs
have
TVs and yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they had that. They had like, you know, the TVs set up and everything.
No, there
like,
was arcade there.
Yeah, no, I seen that. I don't think that was there last year.
Yeah.
They also had like that little seating area or just the area to chill out. You could like play bags.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I don't think I've been in, I think, three or 4 years, maybe five, maybe six. But there was a lot of places to take your picture. Like, they brought, like, the props, like the Game of Thrones throne. They had, photography setups just that you can go in and take it of your phone. Like, plenty of selfie spots, I would say. Like, I know that there's that Japanese little boardwalk thing with
the
garden.
I saw that.
The garden. Like.
And then they had the C2E2 sign, which was like a Chicago backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's tons of places to take your picture there and tons of fun things. But so Brian, tell us, what was your favorite part about C2E2?
You know, actually, my personal favorite part was catching up with all the exhibitors that, you know, were at the NWI Comic Con, because I got to talk to them and say, you know, how was your show? How did you do? And overall, everyone had a great time.
Nice.
You know, every sales were well for them. As you guys know, because you were there, attendance was fantastic for the NWI Comic Con. I had a lot of factors against me this year because we had to change our date because of C2E2 coming in February.
Did you see the announcement for C2E2
next
year?
Yes, it's going to be in March, and I'm super
towards the end of March, too. I think the 20-something.
Yeah, so like 23rd or something like that.
That makes me happier, too, because now I can focus on NWI and not have to worry about my
bank
account.
You and me both.
Yeah. Here's my question to you.
Sure.
When you found out, did you throw your hand up in the air like old boy at the end of Breakfast Club?
I kind of did.
All right, that's what I wanted to hear.
I might have danced a jig.
There you go.
But Brian, in regards to, I know we're not going to name specific prices for the You know, keeping it classy here. But what's your favorite, I guess, swag purchase that you made at C2E2?
There's a booth called Magnetic Press, and they are local to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they bring imprints from Europe to America. So all kinds of European comics. And I don't know if you've ever read any European comics, but the art is like next level. It's like, you know, kind of how anime is in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's like its own subculture.
Really?
Yeah, European art and their comics are just mind-blowing. Like, half of them aren't in English, but a good portion are. Mm-hmm. But even without being able to read it in, you know, say, French, you can still know from page to page exactly what's happening because their storytelling abilities are just off the hook, man.
Really? And is it, like, Marvel and stuff, or is it something completely
different? No, it's the biggest company out there, I think, is called Soleil.
Mm-hmm.
So most of my purchases came from that particular booth. I did buy some wall art, and I, you know, bought a couple action figures, and, you know, my son as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that particular booth is my personal favorite.
Mm. Wow. I've never even heard of, I guess, comic books outside of the U.S. Like,
sure.
If I thought about it, like, of course they exist, but yeah, I didn't know, like, it has such a prominent culture.
Oh,
like,
yeah, man.
Cartoons to anime, you know.
Yeah,
I definitely really cool. Got to check that out. Yeah,
please do.
Yeah, yeah. So what about you, Mike? What's your favorite purchase?
I was thinking I'll go last. Paul, what about you? What's your favorite purchase?
My expensive chopsticks.
Oh yeah, your expensive chopsticks. Those
you got anything to say? I was gonna say, Paul, you did talk to that guy for quite a bit.
Yeah,
it was really cool talking to him. He like hand makes all the chopsticks. He was saying that he talks to like guitar vendors, and he'll ask if they have like any fretboards that they're not using,
like slivers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
and
that,
like violin makers too,
so that he can make chopsticks out of the wood.
Do you remember the name of the company?
I was trying to look it up.
Chopsticks R Us?
Yeah.
No, but, that's definitely not it.
But yeah, they were really impressive, and they had different sizes of chopsticks. And I think one of the big things too, they had the dad puns on the chopsticks.
Yeah, yep. It was pretty cool.
I was Groot.
Oh yeah, I was Groot. I think that was my favorite.
Pretty hilarious.
Oh man.
But they had some really like nice, the expensive wood ones, like woods that you don't normally see like in stores. Like I think it's called the Blue Bacote is what I got.
Mm.
Just stuff you can't like get normally.
Yeah. They look really nice, and I'm pretty excited to use them.
Nice.
They also come with like a carrying case that's made out of wood.
Nice. If you don't mind, Paul, I would love to watch you use them.
Maybe you'll see me use them tonight.
Oh, that sounded kind of suggestive for some reason. But anyways, how about you, Mike? What was your favorite?
Oh man, you know, I have two.
Mm-hmm.
One, obviously, my die. I got 12 D6s that are black and gold.
I was going to say those black and gold ones.
Yeah,
nice.
They're black and gold D6s.
And I would like to thank you for letting me use the first roll.
You did get the first roll out of it.
I did. I know that's.
Did it feel good?
It did.
Like, I can't wait to
there's
use
something
them.
You don't do to a man, and that's take his first roll, but you insisted, and I appreciated that.
I'm glad to be a part of it.
I think that was for me to choose between two mats that I was
Yes, doing. It was. Between two mats. I was like, break them in.
Break them in. But anyways, yeah.
So, yeah, I really love those die, but it has to be the sketchbook and pen I bought from this artist in Artist Alley whose name escapes me. I will find it before the night is out, but it sums up like everything that I love. In fact, it's on my backpack right now.
Oh.
It's this guy right here.
Oh wow, yeah, that is very pretty.
It's to describe it. It is a woman with a pink octopus on her head, tattoos all over in a boudoir pose, and it is
that would sum you up pretty nicely, to be honest.
Yeah, it's I love boudoir. I love Cthulhu like monster type things, and it's just I love everything, and that's a lot of her art in that sketchbook too. It's that vampires like devil women all in like boudoir lingerie, stuff like that. And that's, I love it. I love all of it.
Awesome. Yeah, that definitely fits you. I don't think I remember seeing that, or else I probably would have bought a button myself.
Oh yeah, it was one of those things, like when we were making our way through Artist Alley. Like I saw it and I instantly stopped.
I was
like,
no word. The Artist Alley was huge and mm-hmm. there was packed, but I think I said it while we were walking, like it may look like I'm tired and sort of droning through this line through Artist Alley, but I'm absolutely enjoying this. Like, I'm seeing so much art. My brain's taken in so much.
I think those were the exact words you said.
but no, like, just soaking in all that. Because, I don't know, like, sometimes working every day at the same place, like, you don't get as much to take in the unique art. And being one of my favorite parts about, like, conventions in general is going through Artist Alley and seeing all the unique art. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, like, the art. Where it's like, oh, you watch, you look at it, you comment on it.
Yeah.
Like the artists are there too. So you, not only do you see the art, you see the artist. And most of the time they're like working on art too. Like there's that lady who wrote, she like drew like these awesome like horror looking mermaids. And she was there making another one. And I remember walking and I had to stop and say, I love your art. Like I'm going to take a picture of your business card.
Cause yeah, that's awesome.
Very great.
I think there was, didn't you buy your mat?
And I bought a mat.
You bought a mat from somebody who was doing that exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you bought two mats at C2E2.
Yes, I bought
two
mats.
You are the mat guy.
I am Matt.
All right, let me ask you. What was your favorite piece of swag?
My favorite piece of swag. Well, that actually brings me to a little feature I would like to play for everyone at Region Nerd Alert.
There we go.
And for the listeners, so you can actually hear this feature standalone on our page, but I will also play part of it now. Tea and Absinthe was a vendor there, and they were so unique because I personally haven't seen them before, but a lot of people recognize them, and they basically sell tea and absinthe related things. Like they had the glasses, they had the special spoons for absinthe. Mm-hmm. And for those of you at home who don't know, absinthe is a very dignified way to drink it, or you could just slam it like I forgot. The artist escapes me. Many artists back in the day.
Yeah. Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
Green Fairies.
Yeah, Poe and the Green Fairies. But they also sell their own teas. And let me let you listen to them say it from their mouths. If it'll play.
I'm Daniel. This is my wife, Pasita.
Yes.
And we are Tea and Absinthe. Easiest way to reach us is from our website, teaandabsinthe.com. All spelled out.
And you guys are based out of?
Outside Boston. We don't have a brick-and-mortar store, just online and pop-up at shows all over the country.
Oh, wow. So you guys are just a strictly online store. How does the crowd interact with your product versus online, like a review and through messaging and stuff like that?
Well, since our primary product is loose-leaf tea, it's a lot easier for people to actually interact with the product, you know, smell it in person as opposed to through the internet. You know, we're still working on our scratch and sniff web interface.
Oh, right. That's
awesome. It's kind of hard to smell through the internet. That's true. We invite everyone to come to see us at cons.
Awesome. So do you have a con after C2E2 here?
Yeah, we're going to Seattle for Emerald City Comic Con. If you check our website, we have like a whole tour. We do Dragon Con down in Atlanta. We do New York Comic Con. We do cons in Orlando, like all over the country.
That's amazing. And what about C2E2 is your favorite? Not necessarily saying C2E2 is your favorite con, but like what's your favorite part about C2E2?
Well, one of the best things about our kind of business where we travel the country is we get to visit all the different cities, and Chicago is one of our favorite places. The Chicago Art Institute, the food, the other museums in town, and because there's so much culture here, the people who come to the show are just fabulous.
That's true.
Yeah. I really love the people here, especially all the fans. They really take time to put into their cosplays and stuff. I love seeing all the fans.
Awesome. And by the way, I love your Slytherin. It looks like a steampunk Slytherin almost.
It's like my dapper, 1940s Slytherin outfit.
That's awesome. I recently found out I'm a Slytherin too, so okay. I've embraced it with the green hat. And,
love it.
Green's my color for 2020. I guess for someone who's never heard of you guys, what are you guys about? Plug your stuff.
Well, we do fandom tea. So tea that's inspired by all the different fandoms, specifically the fandoms that we personally are passionate about. So we have like a Harry Potter themed tea with all the houses, Doctor Who themed tea. That was our first because we're big Whovians. Yeah, we've been watching it forever.
That's awesome.
And then we were like, oh, you know what? This tea reminds me of the doctor, and this tea reminds me of that doctor. And so that's how it started with us. So we created like these different tea blends that are kind of like themed on different doctors and different characters and things like that.
That's awesome. I also see you had a Princess Peach, which it from here did very well. It sold out. And then I see also the Crystal Gems, which he was telling me earlier. I missed your guys' cosplay yesterday.
Oh, we love Steven Universe. he does an awesome Rainbow Quartz cosplay.
Really? Oh, that's awesome. So with something like the Princess Peach, like obviously, like there's going to be some peach infused with that tea.
Mm-hmm.
What else goes into a tea other than like, oh, we're just gonna like shave peaches or?
Well, when we're creating a tea, we have to think about. Well, you know, what is it that attracts the fandom to that thing? So, for example, with the Slytherin tea, yeah, my wife's house, for that, the idea was we wanted something that was cool and collected and ambitious.
Mm.
So we went with a Moroccan mint for that. Okay. Yeah, so we have the cool from the mint, the green tea for the Slytherin, and the tea base that we used was a gunpowder green tea. Which doesn't actually taste smoky, it's just the way the leaves are rolled up. But it's kind of exquisite and a little bit exclusive and give very high class. And we thought it all works well with the theme. So we have to approach it from a lot of different angles. And then, you know, it also has to be delicious.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I love actually my husband's tea, which is a Hufflepuff tea, because it smells like gingerbread cookies. And because, you know, the Hufflepuff's common room was near the kitchen. So, of course, they're going to be wanting cookies all the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you guys put, like, a ton of thought into this.
We actually,
like, that's amazing.
Debate or argue. have long discussions about different characters and what they feel like and what they mean.
Like, what they embody.
It's like, we sometimes take a really, really long time to bring a tea out because we want it to be accurate to the feel of the character
and the show. So our newest tea is The Road So Far. It's our supernatural themed tea.
Mm.
And you know, it's 14 seasons in and we finally just released it.
Oh, that's amazing. Like, I bet there's a lot of loyalty and brotherhood in that tea.
Oh yeah. So what we ended up going with was a raspberry maple black tea. I'm sorry, blackberry maple black tea with some earthy undertones that are almost like a nice worn leather jacket.
Oh, okay. A lot of leather and plaid.
but you also get the you know, the pancakes and pie.
Oh, right.
Oh, my fandom, I love. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for taking the time out of your busy schedules, because running a con, I'm sure you're 24/7. Like, of course, sleep is involved too. Like, hopefully, but. But yeah, I want to thank you guys again. If you want to say your names one more time and then plug where we can find you.
Well, I'm Daniel.
And I'm Casita from Team Absinthe.
All right, and that was my little interview from C2E2.
Nice.
With the guys at and girls from Tea and Absinthe. And if you want a specialty, go to teaandabsinthe.com/geekytea.
Going to that booth, I remember they had pins outside of it too, and. One, I don't know if they make those or if they're just like sell them there for like one of their friends or something, but they had like different like vaccination like this and, you know, like different political type pins, and each pin that they sold went, or an X amount went towards that cause.
Oh, awesome. Tea and Absinthe?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Also that, pardon me, that place that I was talking about with my favorite pin, mm-hmm. It's called Carlations, C-A-R. Latinos. It's a watercolor pinup and masquerade.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going through a page now and I love everything that I'm seeing.
I was going to say with the Tea and Absinthe place, too, they had a little, it was steel. It almost looked like a little pocket watch, mm-hmm. but it was actually a to-go shot glass. And it just popped it up.
I almost bought one of those.
I was like, did you buy
it? I had it in my hand. I was like,
because you did.
I probably would have bought one.
I was going to say, I didn't check the price. I already bought some stuff from there.
They weren't that expensive. It was less than $15.
They said
bucks,
a lot of people actually buy it for, like, if they take pills, like, just real quick cut and then boom and then crush it down.
I'll have to go on the website because I really wanted one of those things.
Yeah. And speaking of shot glasses, there was tons of vendors selling. I was specifically looking for, like, the highball glasses, mm-hmm. I think it's called, like, mm-hmm. for drink whiskey and stuff. And they had some cool laser engravings and wood engravings, too, for, like, coasters.
Yeah.
And then the plethora of unique shirts of puns and puns galore. But yeah, how you doing over there, Paul?
I'm doing all right.
I feel weird because I can't see your face.
I am just the monitor.
We need to make a name for that seat, too, because that's the goose seat. Actually, that should technically be the goose seat because I can't see him behind me.
This is the ghost seat.
The ghost seat. There's the goose seat and the ghost seat, that's and that's the guest seat.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, my goodness. We are having a ball. But any other special events or things that really shout out to you at C2E2?
The panels, like, can't really say over the air.
I was going to say, me and Olatho, or Skyler, we went to a few panels, and I know, his name? What's his name? It's like a German name. Gendy?
Tarkovsky?
Tarkovsky, yes.
The dude that...
I am so sorry,
The guy that did Samurai Jack.
And he did Girls. Dexter's Laboratory, yeah. Powerpuff Girls, Samurai. He was there. He was there. Yeah, he was promoting, he promoted tons of stuff.
Primal.
Yeah.
And that is boss. Have you seen that yet?
I have not. It is fantastic. They took it, it's not on Netflix anymore, but he was actually at the panel. He was talking about bringing it back to Netflix for season 2. Cool. And he actually showed us the first snippet of the new episode of the second season.
It's like those European comics I was talking about. You know, there's not a lot of dialogue,
mm-hmm.
but just through pure animation and just his art of storytelling, you totally know what's going on, man.
Oh, and I feel so bad for mispronouncing his name. Gendy? Is it Gendy? Gendy?
It's Gendy.
Gendy?
I believe it's Gendy.
I was going to say Gendy.
I was just playing around, man. Like, I didn't realize that he was an actual guest, and that kind of blows my mind, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. When I found out he was there, I had to find my Samurai Jack comic book, like the first one.
Yep.
And you're going to love this. It? Oh, I found it.
Nice.
You're going to love this. I haven't... A copy of an internal, like, proof, like...
From the comic?
Like, from the comic. Like, the first, like, 3 or 4, like, books.
Mm-hmm.
Like, an internal copy where they make, like, edits. Because you can see, like, people, like, making edit notes. Like, okay, we're going to, you know, bring this frame up a little bit or something like that. I have that, and I wanted to sign it, but I couldn't.
I was going to say, being at his panel, it was so inspiring. Like, he took you through his whole life of animation.
That's fantastic.
And he's like his very first animation and what inspired him to, like, when he made Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah, man, I've always been a big fan. That's pretty awesome.
And it's cool because when he was making Dexter's Lab, he said that he made Dee Dee first. Like, the first thing he wanted to make was, like, a cartoonish ballerina. And he thought of, like, her juxtaposition would be her brother being a small into the sciences and she's more of the arts. So that's how it began. He drew Dee Dee first and then, like, a little Dexter. And, man, it was a great panel.
That's awesome. Sorry I missed it.
Yeah, and then speaking of Primal, like, oh, man, that is an adult show.
I need to watch that.
Yeah.
That is an adult
Definitely
show.
Definitely for adults, not for kids.
Yeah. I absolutely need to watch that.
Yeah, his storytelling is out of this world.
It is. It's super fantastic.
And I don't know, he also worked on Hotel Transylvania.
Really?
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did stuff with Mel Brooks, because Mel Brooks was also in the second one, I want to say. He might have been the first one, too. But he was there. It was super great panel.
That's
awesome. There's something else I wanted to say about the panel as well. I didn't know he did a scene in Iron Man 2.
Did you know he was involved in that?
I did not.
Yeah, apparently there's a fight scene where War Machine and Iron Man are like in this dome and they fight a bunch of robots. He actually directed that entire fight scene because the director was such a fan of his work the thing that he loved most was the pacing of how he puts everything. Even Samurai Jack, like you said, little words. It's just the pacing of everything, showing scenes long and then switching the contrast and different frames.
It's a very fast show.
Wasn't there an entire episode of Samurai Jack where they didn't say anything?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
You guys ever seen Symbiotic Titan, also by Gendy Tarnaski?
He showed some of that, too.
Yeah. Throwback to the mechs, you know? And
What is it called again?
Symbiotic Titan. It's pretty awesome.
That's another watch.
It is, man. Like if you're a fan of, say, like Pacific Rim or the mech genre, you should check it out.
Evangelion, Paul?
I actually really love like late 80s, early 90s animes.
Oh man, then this is right up your alley, dude.
Yeah, we went to Van Pugnum, who is a DJ in Chicago. He does 70s and 80s Japanese funk music, and he put on an anime dance party at one of the late night panel things, and that was really fun. It was just showed a bunch of old anime on the screen, played some old licks, and people were dancing the night away. So sweet. I definitely appreciate that. And speaking of like panels and things, after dark too. I believe the showroom floor closed at around 7.
Yeah.
And they still have panels going on after that, and then that we went to a few.
Yeah, which was pretty dope.
Yeah, we've seen some world premieres of some animes, Tower of God. There's a big Webtoons sponsored C2E2 as well, and I have Webtoons on my phone.
Yeah, so do I.
They showed a couple premieres that they were working on with them.
Yeah, they're actually going to have some original content. I don't know if you read Gods of High School, is that what it's called? Or
Tower of Gods? Or no?
Something to do with Gods of High School, I think, man, but it's awesome.
It's not Unordinary, is it?
No, it's on Webtoons, man. And the first time I read it, I thought, man, this would be an awesome anime. And that's actually one of the projects that working on.
I was going to say, this is far above my head.
Same.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. And I'm actually on Crunchyroll's free thing right now. And going to those panels hooked me in. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I got to get on Crunchyroll right now because there's a lot of cool original things.
I should probably get on there too.
Oh, wow, look at that. Dang, I need to follow them on Webtoons. Yeah, Webtoons, yeah,
really cool.
I follow a few things on there as well. I actually have a few friends who are trying to do their stuff on Webtoons, too.
Awesome. But, some web comics.
Yeah, yeah. Sweet. But yeah, that hour flew right by, huh?
Oh, man.
And, yeah, there's... I got to say, there's a lot of... after a convention, all the setup... all the preparation that goes into the convention, whether you're just a congoer or I'm sure showrunner, you have
a lot of blood, sweat, and beers go into the Northwest Indiana Comic Con.
And then, may I ask, is after it or during it and after it happens, would you consider it a success?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely a huge success.
Awesome, awesome. From our point of view, it was fantastic con, and we had such a blast there.
I'm happy to hear that. And thanks again for having me tonight on the
show. Oh, of course, of course. And I really appreciate it. I'd like to thank you again for having me
at
Northwest Indiana Comic Con.
No, thank you.
Because I got to say, that was like an experience like I'm never going to forget.
That's
like,
awesome.
That was fantastic.
I'm happy to hear that, man.
But
you and one of our friends now have something in common.
What's that?
Him and Tanya.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Tanya did a booth.
Yeah. She Tanya was one of your artists one year.
Right. Last year.
Was it? Last year. Yeah. And then that was one of our best friends, and now we did a booth.
That's cool,
too.
Man.
Was.
Yeah.
Like, you said she, was.
She is one of our best friends.
Rip Tanya.
She's going to listen to this.
We all love you.
We all love you, Tanya. But anyways, thank you guys for coming. Thank you guys on the airwaves for listening. You want to do a quick around the horn? This is
Thick Boy, 3Cs, 3Is, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Follow my photography at Singularity Photography.
And then we have
Brian Grabinski, showrunner of the NWI Comic Con. You can find us on Facebook, NWI Comic Con, or on the web, Or NWIComicCon.com.
And then we have Paul Grzelski.
You just said my name. You stole my thunder.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal the wind from beneath your sails. But anyways, you're listening to Region Nerd Alert. If you missed this episode, you can go on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or...
What's that app?
NPR One app.
NPR One app. Man, I never use that. I need to start using that app. But anyways, thank you for listening, and thanks for nerding out, and everyone have a great evening.
Bye.
Bye.